I've got a word for us today, and the Lord allowing me to discharge it to you. I trust that you get it. I'd like to just locate myself a little bit more for you. I was born in the Republic of South Africa way back then, and in 1975, got saved. And God called us to the ministry and specifically told us to come to America to study. And was at a place called Colorado Springs in Colorado at a Bible college. And I was there for about a year seeking the Lord, as all Bible students do, night and day. If you know, you've been part of that. You've got this incredible task ahead of you to be a bearer of God's word to the people and to the nations, and called on the name of the Lord. And in July of 1977, I bumped into Jesus, or Jesus bumped into me. And it was awesome. Some would call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. But what happened to me was, at that moment, God gave me an anointing for intercession. So out of that baptism, the baptism is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, who is God, and there are special giftings that are given, I believe, at the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and especially the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire, which cleanses and then, you know, gives you gifts. And I was given the gift of intercession. The day after that happened, that interaction with Jesus, I gave testimony at the Bible college the next day in a class. And after the classes were over, there were about 15 to 20 guys that joined me and just said, "We want what you've got." And we went downstairs into the basement, and it was just a sovereign thing that happened. As we walked in and closed the door, everybody's hands went up into the air, and we interceded for an hour. So it was a concert of prayer from way back there, as an anointing from God. And the Lord brought me from Colorado Springs to the Kansas City area back in 1979, went through liberal arts college and seminary. And on the day that I was about to graduate, I met Mike Bickle in the city. And when he saw me and he heard the testimony, this is what he said. He said, "You are praying on that side of the city," which I was, with a group, and he was praying on the other side. And he said, "When I saw you, the Lord told me he's going to join us together, and God is going to give us anointing, and the anointing is going to be a Daniel anointing, and we're going to start praying three times a day." In October of 1984, down on 435 in Row, we announced to the church, about 500 people, that we were starting a prayer ministry. And we were going to start praying three times a day, 6:30 in the morning until 8, and 11 to 1, and every night from 7 to 10. And we did that for 21 months, and then kept on praying. And God gave us the ability to take the apostolic prayers and to teach people how to pray from the Bible, how to take the prayers of the apostles, Jesus, and all the other apostles, and even Old Testament scriptures, and how to have them before you and pray them out, because God put them in his word. And they promise us in the word that God would, you know, fill us with a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of our hearts would be opened and enlightened, and he would give us all those good things. So we've had the great privilege over the years of teaching people how to do that. And just before 1999, I was in England doing a conference in London, another one in Peterborough. And while I was there, two different people came to me. I wouldn't recognize them today, even if you showed them to me. But at the one place in London and the other place in Peterborough, in a parking lot, a guy walked up to me. And he asked me this question: "Is your name Noel Alexander?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "I've got a message for you." He said, you could go back to Kansas City and start the 24-hour house of prayer. And I kind of looked at him and I thought, do you understand what you're saying? You know what it takes to do something like that? And anyway, off he went. Then I went to either London or Peterborough. I was in the parking lot again, and a certain individual, don't know who he was, don't know him today, walked up to me and had exactly the same message for me. And he said, is your name Noel Alexander? I said, yes. He said, I've got a message for you. I said, I think I know what it is. He says, you're to go back to Kansas City and you are to tell Mike Bickle that you're going to start the 24-hour house of prayer. Now, that was 20 years ago. 1999, it started. And worship and intercession has gone up before the throne. There are hundreds of people that have come and gone and opened up prayer meetings around the world. Isn't that wonderful? Many, many places, worship and intercession is going up 24 hours a day. And you can only do that by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's impossible in the flesh. It's tough enough to pray, never mind three times a day or all day and never ending. So it's a work of the Spirit in our generation, the work of intercessory prayer, calling upon the name of the Lord, and awesome things are going to take place. And so I'm just kind of locating myself. And as Pastor Randy said, right now I'm the president of an organization called Love Mercy. And we clothe, house, feed, and educate the poor in Kenya. And I have a wonderful time doing that. So that's just to locate me a little bit so I don't just come in cold. So God bless you today. Bless us all. Thanks for the worship. Actually, the reason why we've been keep on coming is for the worship and obviously the word. But I love the atmosphere that is set up in this room and in worship to God. And so, amen. That's just to our little introduction. So I'm just not a stranger to you. I have a message today for every one of us. And the message is this, that God has got the best for you. It was a clear rhema word to me that the Lord allowed me to carry this past year. And in the scripture, it says this, the first mention was of the Garden of Eden, paradise, secondly, the promised land, and God has now promised us heaven. So three different things. God has got the best for you. The power of first mention. God put his man and his woman in paradise called the Garden of Eden, the best place in the world. He put them in that. Obviously, we know they fell through sin and they were taken out of the garden. But then God immediately started preparing something else. And he started preparing the promised land for his people. And the day is coming when heaven will come down and we'll join the third best thing that God has prepared for us. So I'm saying to us, I mean, just clearly at the get-go here, God has got the best for you. It's there for you to enter. And we're living in awesome times in the midst of incredible prayer going up around the world. And God giving us a position and an entrance into the best in the world. This is the kingdom of God. And God wants you to enter into it and I believe enjoy the journey. Somebody said, you know, a preacher needs to be ready to preach, pray, or die. I'm ready to preach, pray, and enjoy the journey. Amen? Because God has got awesome things for us. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, financially, God has got an awesome inheritance for each one of us. And so the Bible is a testimony of God's goodness and the best that God has for us. And I want to just run through a little bit of history here for us to do this. God appeared to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob in days gone by. They were called the patriarchs. I want to add Joseph to that. Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph. And the Lord met with them in vision and in dream. With Moses, he was face to face. But with these here, vision and dream, he spoke to our forefathers, the patriarchs. And he promised them land. And he promised them people. The first promise to mankind was land. and the second, an innumerable amount of people that God was going to separate for himself. In fact, the Lord said to Abraham, he said, your descendants are going to be like the stars of the sky and like the seashore. An innumerable number of people that God was going to claim for himself forever. So the promise was given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph. He said, you are going to have millions of descendants. And he told them way up front, I am preparing a land called the promised land for all of these people that I'm talking about. So God had in his understanding, Eden was gone, but he was going to prepare this incredible place called the promised land for his people. And I want to just say today, God has got the best for his people. Those that worship him in spirit and in truth, he's got the absolute best for you. He says you are going to have millions of descendants and they're going to be put into an incredible land. After God gave that tremendous promise, 400 years later, these descendants that God had prophesied about, they were enslaved in Egypt. Egypt was the city in the world. There were probably 5 million people by this time. And so God's people that he had separated, the descendants of Jacob, had now become enslaved in Egypt. And it says that in the midst, so that's 400 years later. In those 400 years, God was preparing a place called the Promised Land. He actually put giants in the land to prepare the land for his people. They were evil and God, there was a day when God was going to destroy them and then give his people the promised land. And the scripture says that right in the midst of this, 400 years later, in the midst of this enslavement, God raised up a deliverer. The deliverer's name was Moses. He was born in Egypt. He grew up in the palace in Egypt. The scripture says that he killed a man and he fled from Egypt and went to a place called Midian. So all the people are back. They're still in slavery. Moses has now gone 150 miles away, all the way to Saudi Arabia, from Egypt to Saudi Arabia to run away from Pharaoh because Pharaoh was going to kill him. And the scripture says this, that one day in the midst of about a 40-year interval there, it says God appeared to Moses in Midian. Now, in those 40 years that of his exile from Egypt, he was a shepherd looking after sheep. And so for 40 years, he did that, raising up his own family. But right in the midst of it, it says one day on the mountain, looking after the flock, it says that there was a burning bush. Suddenly a bush burst into flame. And it says that Moses went close to it. God said to him, Moses, Moses, don't come any closer. He said, take the shoes off your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. God was preparing for himself a deliverer. And if you remember this, that God said, I've come down and I've heard the misery of my people in Egypt. They are enslaved by the pharaohs, building cities for Ramses and so on. He said, I've heard their cry from heaven. They're my people and I'm going to send you back, Moses, to Egypt. And you're going to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. So God anointed Moses. Moses didn't want to do it. Moses was a stutterer. He was not eloquent, but God chose him. And he says, even with that, I'm going to be with your mouth. Go. And you're going to go back to Pharaoh. And you're going to stand in front of him. And you're going to say, the God of the Hebrews, the God of the Israelites, says to you, let my people go. There were about 2 million people in amongst the 5 million people in Egypt that were enslaved. And so, long story short, Moses goes back. And you remember, he walked up to Pharaoh, told him, he and Aaron walked up to him and said, the God of the Hebrews has given me a word for you. He said, what is it? He said, let my people go. And you remember, Pharaoh said, no, 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 9 times. God sent 9 plagues upon the country. Awesome plagues. I mean, it nearly decimated Egypt at that time. And then you remember with the 10th plague, after Pharaoh saying no 9 times, and the 10th time, God killed the firstborn in each family of the Egyptians. And Pharaoh looked at that and he saw all of the other plagues that happened. He said, but this one, if I hold the people right now, probably the next plague would be that I would die. So he quickly called in Moses and he said, come Moses and Aaron, come quickly. And he said, take your people and get out of here. And so Moses became the deliverer. They went out and they were on their way. God said to them, I've heard the cry of my people, but I'm going to take them into a land flowing with milk and honey. It's probably one of the most important sentences in the scripture because the creator of the universe used that language for the promised land that he was bringing them into. There's something very spiritual and godlike over the sentence of a land flowing with milk and honey. And so praise the Lord for that. Go, took the people. It says that over 2 million people left Egypt and a whole lot of the Egyptians went with them when they heard that they were going to the promised land. And you remember the saga that happened here. Probably this deliverance out of Egypt is one of the greatest sagas of all time. That God would have pulled out 2 million of his people out from under slavery and take them through, as the scripture says, when they got to the Red Sea, think about it, the Red Sea. They stood in front of it, and it says that the Red Sea opened up in front of them. And it says they walked through on dry ground. God was doing something special for the ages to come. Because God himself said to Moses, he said, remember what just happened now. He said, these 2 million people stood in front of the Red Sea, and I took them through on dry ground, dried up that land, and they walked through. You remember Pharaoh chased them, the army came. Once all the Israelites were through the Red Sea, it says that God closed the Red Sea and drowned Pharaoh's army. Praise the Lord. They were drowned. Now there were 2 million people in the desert. God miraculously provided everything they needed. I want to say to you right now, you know it, God is good. He wants to be good to you and he wants to give you the best. He showed that, he proved that with these ones in the desert as he gave them everything they needed. God told Moses, tell the people, I'm taking you into a land flowing with milk and honey. In those five books or the first six books of the Bible, 12 times it says that the Lord is taking you into a land flowing with milk and honey. God had prepared this incredible place called the Promised Land. 400 years it was being prepared, as I said, with the giants and so on. So God is taking you into a land flowing with milk and honey. You remember the people didn't believe God. And so God said to Moses, choose 12 spies, one out of every tribe, and send them into the promised land and to go and tell and come back with a report and tell us what is happening in the promised land. You remember the spies went out. For 40 days they went and they searched out the land. And they came back and two of them came with a good report. 10 of the spies came back with an evil report, it said. It says, we went into the land. It is an incredible land, but it's filled with giants and walled cities. It's we go in there, they will consume us, the 10 spies said. But then there were two men of faith, Joshua and Caleb, that were two of the spies. And when they gave their report, they said, it is a fantastic land. It's exactly what God has told Moses. It's wonderful. It's filled with every good thing that you can think of. And those two men of faith, they said, we can go up immediately and take it because God is with us. Now, God said many times, even 12 times, he said, with an uplifted hand, I'm going to take you into that land. Those two spies believed it. Moses believed it as well. And Aaron believed it as well. And the rest of the people did not believe it. It says that they doubted and they would not enter. So walled cities and giants, they'll consume us. We thank God this morning for Joshua and Caleb. They went into this awesome land. And you remember when they brought back them a massive bunch of grapes they brought back out of the promised land called Eshkol and showed it to them. And they just said, it's a wonderful land. Joshua and Caleb says we can well go up and take the land. Hallelujah. Joshua and Caleb believed God. 12 times God said, I'm taking you in. And here's the one thing that God said, I am going to go before you. Those of faith believed that. And I want to say today that God has got the absolute best for us, for those that will have faith. So Joshua and Caleb, they believed God. They had that faith. It says, for 40 years, the people stayed in the desert. Finally, Moses laid his hands on Joshua and transferred his great anointing onto Joshua and told Joshua, be strong and courageous. You're going to take the people into the land. Joshua led 2 million people across the Jordan once again. And the Jordan was in full flood, and God opened up the Jordan, and it says they walked through on dry ground. So two massive miracles that God did. The Red Sea opened, they walked through on dry ground. The Jordan opened up in full flood. It says they pushed the water all the way back to Adam, and the people walked through on dry ground. And the Lord said to Moses, write it down. Tell the people that are coming in the future of what I had done. So they entered the promised land according to the promise that was given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For 400 years, God's project was now ready after 400 years. The scripture says that they went into the land and they conquered 31 kings and 60 cities. And the only reason why they did that, the power that they had on them, was that the angel of the Lord went before them. If the angel of the Lord had not gone before them, the giants would have consumed them. They would have not been able to scale those walled cities. But the scripture says the angel of the Lord, God promised to his forefathers, the angel of the Lord will go before you. I want to just declare that for this fellowship here and right now. In your time of transition that is coming, God has prepared something special for you. The best. Have faith. God has prepared the best for this fellowship. He's prepared a land flowing with milk and honey. I want to just read some things that the Lord himself said. It was like God bragged on this incredible land. He said, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. And he says, it's a land flowing with brooks and streams. Deep springs gushing out of the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, honey. You're going to lack nothing in this land. There are massive olive groves. There are massive vineyards, and you are going to enter it freely. He said there are flourishing cities that you are going to occupy. He said you're going to enter houses that you didn't build. They have every good thing in them. He says, you're going to have wells that you didn't dig. I know what it is to drill wells. We've drilled 285 wells in Kenya, deep wells with a big rig. And so I know what that looks like. God says, you didn't even drill the wells. I'm just going to give it to you. I put giants in this land, took giants to cultivate Palestine. That piece of real estate. Ezekiel said this. He said, God searched the whole earth and he chose the best land called the promised land. And this is what he gave to his people. And so they were going to inherit all of these things. And the scripture says that they, by faith, they entered in. It says that Caleb and Joshua were of a different spirit to all of those that came out of Egypt. I want to say to you today, I trust that you're a person of a different spirit. It's called a spirit of faith. The others had a spirit, but it was a spirit of doubt and unbelief. The scripture says that 2 million people fell in the wilderness. Only their children, their progeny that came forth from them, were allowed to enter in with Joshua and Caleb into the promised land. And so I'm encouraging us today, may God give you, may God give me a different spirit from the land that we live in. That he would give us that spirit that he put upon Joshua and he put upon Caleb. And so faith believes God. That's all that those guys did. The ones with faith, they believed God. You say, well, if I have faith, what do I need to do? Believe what God said is true. That's why the Bible is so important. Read the Bible and find out all the promises that God has given and believe them. All you need is a little bit of doubt and you stay in the wilderness, maybe fall in the wilderness. Those that were of Joshua and Caleb's spirit, the Lord took them into the promised land. Praise the Lord. 31 kings, 60 cities, 6.5 years was given to them to conquer Canaan. It was called the conquest of Canaan. The 12 tribes got their portions of land in this incredible place called the Promised Land. I believe that God has got the Promised Land for us. Faith believes God. Faith believes His promise that I will go before you. I mean, God says the angel of the Lord will go before you. I myself swear that you're going to enter the land. I'm going to take care of the giants. And let me just say, the giants were the giants. It wasn't just a terminology. It says that there was a king called Og that they conquered. It said he had a 14-foot-6-inch bed, an iron bed, 6 foot wide and 14 feet long. You're talking about giants. They were real giants. God allowed them to go in. With the angel of the Lord going before them, those giants were taken care of. It says Joshua was 80 years old and Caleb was 85 when they entered. Praise the Lord. At the end of the conquest, this is what Caleb said. Give me Hebron. Give me the heights. There were still 5 giants there. He said, the Lord will go before me and take them out as well. And so Caleb rose the heights and he said, you'll ride the heights and you'll feast on the wealth of your father, Jacob. My message to us today is that God has got the best for you. It's there and it's there for you to enter. May God give you the spirit of Joshua and Caleb. I would just say for those of you that have that kind of faith, Jesus said even a mustard seed of this kind of faith, you'll move mountains with it. God has got incredible prosperity for you. I'm not just saying that as a prosperity preacher. I'm just saying it straight from the Word. God's got the promised land for you. He said it's a land of incredible prosperity. My prayer would be that everyone that hears my voice today would say, I'm going to enter that land. I don't know where I've been before, but I'm going to enter that land. My faith is in God. The Spirit of the living God will go before me. The angel of the Lord, the Spirit of Jesus Christ will go before me. The Spirit of the great Melchizedek will go before me. And my life may have been not much up until this time, but from now on, I'm going to have faith. And I'm going to believe God for the promises. Hallelujah. You'll be the head and not the tail. You'll always be above and not below. Hallelujah. Go into your promised land. I'm saying once again, by a rhema word from the Lord, He told me, tell the people, I've got the best for them. Your life up until this time may have not seen the best. The Lord is putting before you a word today. He has the best for you. You're going to ride the heights. You're going to feast on the wealth of your father, Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. I want to say today that this is a Joshua generation. He has got the best for you. Hallelujah. I want to give a couple of prophetic words here that the Lord has spoken to me. My life has been a spiritual odyssey over the last 40 years. I was just speaking to my wife coming in to the ambassador building this morning. I said, honey, we're still here. I've known her for 50 years plus. We're still here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Maybe like Joshua and Caleb, 85, 80 years old. Hallelujah. This is what Caleb said. He said, I want to take Hebron. He said, I'm as strong today at the age of 85 that I was when I was 45 when I came out of bondage. I'm telling you what, you have faith, you turn things around. Hallelujah. Start getting younger instead of older. Amen. That's not just some word out there. You got this kind of faith. God has got awesome things for you. He told me I've got the best for them. I'm releasing that word to lift this morning. God has got the best for you. In February of this year, I kept saying this. God has got the best for you. It was an anointing. Maybe day 1 of January, it came on me. God has got the best. Wherever I met prayer groups and Bible studies and wherever I met people, just, you know, in the daytime, I told them, God has got the best for you. Have faith in him. So I kept saying this. I said, God has got the best for you. And then the Lord brought to me the promised land. And I said, God, you proved it in your word. A land flowing with milk and honey. A place that is yours by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man can boast. I prepared an awesome future for you. You enter it by faith. You read the word of God, you hear his promise and say, God, you said it, I believe it. It's good enough for me. I'm entering in. So I was making these statements in every meeting that I was in. God has got the best for you and he's going to take us into the promised land. And I was sitting in my lounge, and I mean, this was like a rhema word on me. On a Sunday night, just before I went to Kenya the last time, and I turned on the TV, and I don't watch Christian TV that particular night. A preacher came on, and he began to say the things that I was saying. I mean, you talk about the witness of the Spirit. I said 50 times, I said, amen, 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 as he preached. I mean, this was an amen preacher. He was saying the things that I'd been saying to a number of people since January. And I tell you, suddenly, that he said this. He said, you are entering the promised land. And it was like the, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a matter be established, two witnesses. That came together with me. The word of God exploded in me. I didn't know whether I was coming or going. My emotions were turned upside down. I laughed. I cried. I was just fortunately, I was alone. My wife had gone downstairs and I just said, this is a setup. I didn't know how to handle it. I'm quite strong, you know, just in the natural. I was undone. The word of the Lord had come to me. I'm taking you into, he said, you're going into the promised land. I said, fantastic, God. I've seen it in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua, even in the beginning of Judges, the promised land. The Lord said, I'm taking you in. So it came as a rhema word for me. Hallelujah. He's got the best for you. A little later, I was in a dream. Just to put you in touch here once again, the scripture, three quarters of the scripture are given in visions and dreams. I had a dream. One night, went to bed, no different from Jacob, put my head on the pillow, and suddenly I was in a room bigger than this. There were over 100 people, I think, in the room. There was I'm in the dream now, and there was a word behind me. And it said this, prophesy over the people. He said, prophesy the word better. And he said, loudly. So I prophesied. I said, thus saith the Lord, better, B-E-T-T-E-R. And that got their attention and they all faced me. There was a word behind me again, said, prophesy again. Tell the people from today, everything is going to get better. I prophesied over them as loudly as I could. Third time, a voice behind me said, prophesy again. He said, from today, prophesy this, from today, everything is going to get infinitely better. And I woke up and I said, awesome. Better is better because we got better promises. We got better promises than they had over the promised land. We've got Jesus, our great Melchizedek. We've got the cross. We've got the blood. I mean, we've got incredible promises. Better, better, infinitely better. Now there's a good confession. For me, everything is going to get better. From today, everything is going to get extremely better. From today, everything is going to get infinitely better. It's a word of the Lord given to me. Shortly after that, I was in a dream once again, and a man by the name of Bob Jones, who came from the north, many of you may have heard him. He prophesied for over 40 years here in this city and then down in the Carolinas. Bob Jones was a seer, and he met me in a dream. Bob Jones died 5 years ago, and so I'm in this dream. He appeared to me in an ephod, And this is what he put his finger in my face. And he said to me, faith is now. 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 And again, faith is now. And then he turned around and he walked away. And I saw the ephod down to his knee. So he being dead yet speaketh. The Lord is speaking a word to us. The kind of faith that he is looking for is this Joshua, Caleb type of faith. That'll take some doing in the midst of Kansas City, 2019. We have so many distractions, so many lures, this way and that way, and the media and this and that. We need to cut through it all and say, God, that's the kind of faith that I want. The faith that is now. Hebrews 11 says, now faith is. The word he gave to me is not now faith is. You know, it's maybe the by and by. Faith is now. God has got the best for you, your family, your children, your grandchildren. Those that are still coming, God has got the best for you. God is a loving God. God is love. He wants to give you good things. It's really true. I could bring a judgment message any day. God is good. God is loving, kind, forgiving, just. He's got a people that are going to be like the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore that are going to enter into his promised land in this generation. I'm just declaring to us by the word of the Lord, we're a Joshua generation. We are Caleb generation. That twin faith there conquered the land. 31 kings, 60 cities. And then they took the land, the beauty of the land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Praise the Lord. By faith, God said it, I believe it. And I'm saying amen. God has got the best for Lyft. I can prophesy that to you, Randy and Grant and Pastor Chris and your families. God has got the best for you. I don't know what's ahead of you, but it's the best. I just believe in your meetings. You just get together and say, we want that Joshua Caleb faith. The angel of the Lord will go before you. I don't know where you land, but the angel of the Lord is going to go before you. And I believe it's going to be the best. It's the best. It's the word of the Lord for you. That's why I believe that the Lord just impromptu brought me up here today. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. In the original, faith is the title deed. Title deed is for land, for you. It goes back to the promised land in Hebrews. Hebrews is full of the promised land. It's full of Abram, Isaac, Jacob, Joshua, all those guys. Full of that. It all has to do with that. God's first promise was land. You touch this kind of faith, there's land for you. I don't know what piece of real estate you have. God has got land for you. He's got the best for you. Hallelujah. In that vision that the Lord gave to me of Bob Jones when he appeared to me, and he said, faith is now, now, now. Faith is now. Not faith is going to be the by and by. Today, it's right now. Believe God today. Tomorrow's not good enough. Tomorrow will be good. Do it the same thing. But today, have this kind of faith. In that dream, in that visitation that was given to me with Bob Jones in it, faith is now, 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 now. And you're going into the promised land. This is what came to me. In that dream, the Lord said, there is a man, and he gave me his name in the dream. And he said, that man has got this kind of faith. And it's going to be the faith for incredible prosperity. I called him up and told him. Maybe you'll hear his name some other time. But right now, this is what God is saying. I'm just declaring to us this morning, Sunday morning, the 1st of September, 2019, God has got the best for you. The prerequisite is here that you have faith. That you can just yourself say, I don't know where you are in your Christian walk, you yourself say, I want that kind of faith, that conquering kind of faith, that kind of faith that moves mountains. You gave it to two men, you can give it to me. Joshua and Caleb, doesn't matter what your age is. They were 80 and 85, amen? I don't know what your history has been. I mean, God makes all things new, amen? Suddenly things go reverse. He came to reverse the curse on us, just on every level. Away with poverty, in with a great prosperity of God in this generation. You will see what this means in the future. Praise the Lord for it. So, amen. The Lord says, I know the plans that I have for you. Amen. To prosper you. To prosper you. Spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially. I know the plans that I have for you. The plans for this and this word today. He's got plans for you to prosper you. You're going to see your promised land. May God give you that kind of faith. Amen. I've had just a... So God has got the best for you. Just leave that with you. But I want to kind of close with the supernatural. Just recently, my wife and I went down to Dalton, Georgia. And there God gave us the privilege of going to a fellowship where a Bible... The 66 books of the Bible have been producing oil over the last 2.5 years. 200 gallons of oil have come out of that scripture. We are in a serious time right now. Guys may have said it in the past. We are in a serious time right now. I know, by signs and wonders. I mean, the kingdom of God is amongst us. The things are coming closer and closer. So we went down to Dalton, Georgia, and we had that great privilege of seeing this Bible in a great, you know, a Perspex dish about yay size, about could carry about 5 gallons of oil. The Bible's in the bottom there, and it produces a gallon of oil a day. They call it flowing oil. The scripture says your name is like an ointment poured forth, a fragrant swear of wonderful oil. You go back into the 5 books of the Bible, God gave there the prerequisites for the anointing oil. I mean, awesome. I looked at them just the other day. This ingredient and that ingredient. People over the past have come to me and said, we've made that kind of oil. Here it is. And that's great. There's an upgrade today. There's oil coming out of a Bible. That Bible is as good today after 2.5 years as this would be, lying in oil. If it was other than a supernatural occurrence, that Bible would have been that thick within that oil. It's normal size. You can read it. None of the printing is run. None of the quotes in the side have run. It is a phenomena of our day. God is in the land for supernatural things. I'm talking about a land flowing with milk and honey. And so praise the Lord today. I would like to... Pastor Randy, if it's okay, I would like to, the next part of our service, I've brought in 3 vials of oil, and I have another one in my back pocket here just in case, you know. Oil that we brought from Dalton, Georgia. And I had a dream last night. I saw young men anointing others, and that's what's going to happen here. We've got 3 young men here, Pastor Grant and Pastor Randy and young Chris here, young men. I want them to anoint you this morning. You are not here by chance today. God is going to allow his pastoral leadership to anoint you with this oil that has come out of the Bible. It's incredible. I know what happened at Medjugorje with the Catholics, where a statue cried. This is oil directly out the Bible. The scripture says, with holy oil, I've anointed them. Holy oil. That holy oil is in this room today. Here in the north of Kansas City, in this Lift Fellowship, that oil is here today. And I believe by a direction of the Lord, out of a dream, I would like to have our 3 pastoral men anoint everybody in the fellowship. If you don't want it, you can stay at the back. But if you want it, I want them to anoint you with oil. Anoint you with oil to get that deep down in your spirit that God has got the best for me. I don't care what has happened in your family in days gone by. I don't care what's happened to your finances in days gone by. God has got the absolute best for you. A land flowing with milk and money. Honey. Same thing. God is not scared of money. Amen. They sold the honey and made a lot of money. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's the... the backdrop of who God is for you today is as clear and as live and as powerful today as he was back there. Same mind, same desire for this generation. Hallelujah. We're going to see great things. There's a prayer movement going on around the world. For this fellowship today, the Lord is saying, I've got the absolute best for you. What you need to do is as they anoint you, say, God, I'm going to have that faith of Joshua and Caleb. And I believe that the Lord is going to give that to you. Father, we give you praise. Thank you for the worship that we have experienced in this house today. Thank you for those moments, God, where we suddenly touched heaven and heaven touched us. Thank you for that awesome moment suddenly when the book of Revelation came alive. God, here on the 1st of September 2019, we're in this house. We're under the watchful eye of our Creator. We have the Holy Spirit here in us, moving around us and through us. You are promising us today, Lord, what you promised our forefathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. Lord, you exploded that word in my heart. I know it's real. Out of the mouth of two witnesses, let a matter be established. Hallelujah, God, that this is the hour. This is the hour, the kingdom of God. This is the hour when that piece of real estate, God, called the promised land, will become heaven on earth. Where that moment in time comes where that 1,500-mile cube called the New Jerusalem comes out of heaven and lands on the promised land. Awesome God. Thank you for all the prayers that are going up. My prayer today is, God, that that kind of faith that you gave to the patriarchs would fall upon us today. And we would enter into the joy of the Lord. We'd enter into the prosperity of God. We'd enter into supernatural circumstances. Real estate that you didn't pay for, yours. Houses that you didn't build, filled with every good thing, you're going to walk right in. I'll take the giants out and give it to you. Hallelujah. We give you praise, God, today. You're good. You're kind, you're loving, you're just, and you're fair, and we love you. And we give ourselves to you today. Lord, as we are anointed today, may it be a seal placed upon our bodies that you have the best for us. In Jesus' name, I'm the Lord who heals you. I'm the Lord who blesses you, and I've got the best for you. In Jesus' name. Mickey, would you just bring the oil? This is my wife, Mickey. Can you believe it? 50 years ago, I saw her walking down the street. Amen. And that day, I claimed her by faith. Amen. 50 years later, she's still here. Praise the Lord. With holy oil, he anointed them. We anoint you today for results. Amen. So I would just say that, Pastor Chris, if you would come and each one just take a bottle here. And Lord bless you. Pastor Chris. And let the pastors anoint you today. Amen. They can anoint themselves as well. And let the people be anointed.
I saw the two gentlemen on Sid Roth as they brought the Bible to his program. And we're talking about how this started, and that they'd inquired of the Lord, what is this? Why is this? And for a while they didn't hear. And then one day he spoke to him, and he said, "This is a sign that nothing is impossible. That's, and you say, oh, that's all it is. That's all." It is. Nothing is impossible. Oil out of a Bible? 200 gallons? nothing is impossible. Nothing's impossible.